is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
In the New World Report, Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College, Strategic Studies Institute, and I need Evan's attention ever the more because the news in the Americas is dynamic and non-transparent. For example, U.S. Senate blocks debate on ending military action against Venezuelan vessels. The backstory on this is complicated, but I'll read the second paragraph. The effort, spearheaded by Democratic Senators Adam Schiff of California and Tim Kaine of Virginia, and with the backing of Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, was stopped by a vote of 48 to 51. Professor, a very good day to you. The U.S. Senate getting involved in directing foreign policy at the confrontation level of the White House is reminiscent of my youth once upon a time in the 1970s with Richard Nixon in the White House and then Gerald Ford in the White House. The Congress became a voice in foreign policies, passing a number of acts that limited or were said to limit the authority of the President of the United States with regard to the clear and present danger to the United States. It's reminiscent of that, and yet it rhymes. It's not the same thing. The Senate is getting involved in Venezuelan affairs. That requires us to comment on Venezuelan affairs. There have been a series of alleged drug boats running in the international waters destroyed by order of the president. I believe that's a fair generality. And now the Senate is saying that we want to block you from further action in Venezuela. What further action? What is the status of Washington to Caracas? Last time we talked, Caracas, in the person of the illegitimate President Maduro, had written a letter to the President of the United States. Good day to you, Evan.
Good day to you, John. As you point out, recent days, what you see, I think, is a expression of Republicans in both the House and Senate want to support President Trump where they can. There's some questions and ambiguities regarding some of the actions and powers that have been taken. As you know, what you've had is a deployment of a very large U.S. Navy flotilla, three amphibious ships, as well as a total of, I believe, four destroyers, a cruiser, all of which have capabilities which together would allow the United States to go far more than just interdicting drug boats and allow it potentially, if the president so chose, to do a major amphibious landing, probably not with the intention of occupying Venezuela or setting up a new government in the style of Operation Just Cause against Panamanian dictator Manuel Noriega in 1989, but certainly with the possibility of taking out Nicolas Maduro, designated as the head of Cartel de los Soles, which we have designated as a terrorist organization, and certainly his leadership. And Maduro and the region have been reacting to that. But in the context of the president's authorized actions against drug boats, he has said, first of all, not only is Cartel de Soles a terrorist organization, but has indicated specifically to Congress that the drug traffickers are essentially enemy combatants, and that we are in a state of military operations against those. So that raises the question, if we are saying that we are in a state of what he calls armed conflict, what our Justice Department is now calling armed conflict against the cartels, how is that different from a state of war? And so if we say we're in a state of armed conflict as a justification of using lethal force against those combatants, that gets very close to what the Congress has, under the Constitution, been very clear is its power to declare a state of war. So I think what you're seeing with the Senate is trying to at least get into that space, wanting to have more of a voice with respect to where we're going. But what is not resolved in this is, again, how far the president will take this. There's been some talk that we would move from the attacks against the drug boats, the most recent, of course, having the Venezuelan registry and people from Colombia, but there's been talks about land attacks. There's been talks about possibly other types of actions, and so My personal sense is that President Trump is using a series of escalating actions to show that we have the intention not to allow the Cartel de los Soles and obviously Nicolas Maduro as its leader to stay in power. And so, if those who support Maduro fundamentally believe that U.S. action is imminent, then their calculus changes. If you believe the U.S. won't act and you can stay in power, then even though you don't like Maduro, your tendency is to say, well, let me stick with Maduro because that way I'm not at risk at the establishment of a democratic regime that could bring me to justice for what I've done either criminally or with respect to human rights violations. But if you believe that U.S. attacks are imminent, then you say, I need to try to cut a deal with the U.S. and save my skin. So in my sense, what we're seeing right now is an escalating series of actions which are meant to convince those in power that President Trump will not back down on this and attack is imminent, and thus essentially trying to induce them to take matters into their own hands. And yet, at the end of the day, it's possible that as with U.S. support to the Israeli operations against Iran with the nuclear sites, that if the president judges that the risks are minimal and the probability of success is great, and certainly we have the force in place to do it, that the president could choose to do a major operation sometime in the next couple of months, not only to go after land targets, but to essentially put an end to the Cartel de los Soles and their threats against Americans.
The voices of the Senate in the contest. This is Senator Jack Reed, the senior Democrat on the Senate Armed Services Committee. Quote, using the U.S. military to conduct unchecked strikes in the Caribbean risks destabilizing the region, provoking confrontation with neighboring governments, and drawing our forces into yet another open-ended conflict without a clear mission or exit strategy because of one man's impulsive decision-making. That's Senator Jack Reed. In response, or in refutation, Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas, who chairs the Senate Intelligence Committee, said in response, President Trump stated very clearly and repeatedly during the campaign that he would attack these cartels if necessary. This is simply him making his word, keeping his word to the American people, Mr. Cotton said. The Reuters is now reporting that there have been four strikes of significance, and we will turn to that in a moment. Colombia, through the voice of its president, Gustavo Petro, is now claiming one of those boats was Colombian. I have no evidence in one direction or another, but there is a contest here. They are in international waters. They are drug boats, according to the president, and no one's refuted that fact. No one said it was a fishing vessel inaccurately targeted. Professor, the larger story here is Venezuela and the 7 to 9 million people who fled, and the food security missing, medical security missing, school missing from the people left behind in Venezuela. We're looking at a crisis in a region where there used to be stability and great promise. And it's been years of this abuse by the regime in Caracas, first Chavez and now Maduro. So I'm interested to hear how Washington thinks about this. Is Venezuela a problem we can avoid, we can skip? You were witness of the first Trump administration's efforts to turn Maduro out that were not successful. This looks to be the second approach to turn Maduro out, not about drugs and cartels, but about Maduro. Is that correct or incorrect?
John, I think there's a breadth of different perspectives within the administration and obviously beyond it. What I recall during the first Trump administration, when Mike Pompeo, for whom I worked, was Secretary of State, was a effort to work through Juan Guaido, who, because of his congressional position, was after the fraudulent 2018 elections, the de jure president of of Venezuela. We tried to restore democracy using a series of different pressures, which included certainly the threat of military actions, all cards on the table, as well as sanctions and other things. My sense is that this time around, while certainly bringing of the legitimately elected president, now Edmundo Gonzalez, to power, elected in the July 28th, 2024 elections that Maduro basically ignored and said that he won without evidence. But aside from the issue of democracy, my sense is that with President Trump's current team, there's much more, as you noted, effect orientation towards the impact of Nicolas Maduro as a as the head of Cartel de los Soles organization and other criminal entities like Tren de Aragua, and how they are bringing drugs that kill Americans, even though the majority of the overdose deaths in the U.S. come from fentanyl, which of course comes primarily from Mexico. Having said that, my sense is that people such as Senator Marco Rubio, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, going back to his previous position as senator, there's an understanding of the need beyond even just the drugs to contain Venezuela because of its role in destabilizing the region through the 8 million or more refugees who have come out, through its effect in through criminality, harboring terrorist groups like the ELN and FARC and others from neighboring Colombia, working to have a subterfuge from Venezuela elsewhere in the region, and serving as a host for various anti-U.S. adversaries, doing military operations and hosting military systems and other activities of the Russians, of the Iranians, including production of drones and helping Iranian leaders such as those of the Quds forces move through the region through things like Venezuela's airline Amtrasur, working closely with the Chinese and others. And so I think there's long been an understanding that containing Venezuela, if not eliminating that, anti-U.S. regime, which has hosted so many threats, is in the strategic interest of the United States. So I think that in the thinking of many in Washington, especially on the right, that is still there. But the flip side that I think some are concerned about is that, if you have a change in regime, which is rapid, Venezuela has become so much of a criminal franchise with respect to the military groups that have been allowed to tax and actually run the drug operations and the extortion of the remittances of immigrants and the gold illegal gold mining operations and other things, the hosting of these other groups like the ELN, like the FARC, that certainly don't want to return to a democratic regime, groups such as the organized citizen militias, the colectivos, and certainly the Russians and Cubans that are looking to stir up trouble. So the risk is that if you take out the leadership, you have so many people that don't want a return to a responsible democratic government that, as happened after U.S. operations in Iraq, for example, that the risk is you could have a disintegration into a criminal regime, and that itself could destabilize neighboring regimes like Colombia and force even more out migration. So there's risks both letting Maduro stay in and also, risks if you take down the regime in the wrong way.
Professor Evan Ellis, New World Report. There's trouble in Colombia. There's trouble in Ecuador. Next, this is CBS Eye on the World, New World Report.